We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3 tonight, if y'all want to go ahead and get there, and I'll be there shortly. Okay. Have y'all noticed a shift in the way things are happening lately? Culturally? Anybody? Nope. Okay. I was thinking about this, and 20 years ago when we were doing youth, our philosophy was, if we keep them busy doing good things, then they won't be involved in bad things, and we can teach them the word as we go. And that was basically what we tried to do, just keep them away from the world and keep them out of junk and garbage. But now, I think, with our young people and us, we almost need to raise up apologetics. And the reason for that, I was reading a survey that was done last year, and it's saying that 41% of Americans have a religious type background. And this is how they define that. They go to a service once a week and they believe that religion is important. So those are the only two things you have to fall into this category. And the people that they question, only 41%. And of the 59% left over, half of them said that religion was not important. And the other half didn't go to any type of services. They might have said that religion is important, but they didn't go to any type of organized services or anything like that, which is horrible. Now, Jesus said that as in the days of Noah, right? So when you think about as in the days of Noah, it was Noah and his family were the only ones in the neighborhood that knew the Lord, and everybody else was going in the opposite direction. So as we think about the return of the Lord, we're going to go that way. Now, of course, Jesus said that only the Father knows when that's going to happen. I believe it's our responsibility to hold that off as long as we can by sharing the gospel and presenting truth to people and praying that people come to the Lord. I don't think we need to dig a hole and go hide in it and beg for Jesus to show up, right? So that's what turtles do, right? Gophers. Anyway, that's not who we are. But I was thinking about how things are changing, and just on a little humorous note, how many of y'all have picked up your phone and tried to change his TV channels? Anybody? Okay, good. All right. Other weird stuff happens. This modern technology is good. We got a GPS, and it's a few years old now. All right. Now, when I was in the National Guard back in the late 70s, early 80s, we were sitting in a class, and a guy was giving us a class on map reading. He said, the Army's got this top secret thing now, and the guys can just hold it in their hand, and it tells them exactly where they're at. And what he was talking about was a GPS course. Back then, they were about this big. You know, and it had a screen on it and all that stuff, and the satellites weren't good. But now everybody's got one on their phones and cars and everything. Well, we went on a trip to Naples recently, and I was sitting at the house, and I was trying to put some addresses in ours. It's a few years old. And I should have known that something was wrong because it was telling me I was in Ormond Beach. Okay, but I went ahead and put the addresses in, and as I'm going down the road, it's telling me to turn here and turn there, and I'm looking at the thing, and it's just all messed up. And you want to trust that equipment. But there was a point, you know, I just looked over at Kathy and I said, I'm ready to throw this thing out the window. And I was at that point. I didn't want to just turn it off and stick it under the seat or something. I wanted to throw it out the window and be done with it because it was aggravating me. But Billy Graham said when he started in the 40s that he did not have to address the existence of God. He went straight to the gospel and preached Jesus. But as he got into the 70s and 80s, he had to start arguing the fact of the existence of God. And you know, from there and where we are now, I don't know if any of you saw Ken Ham and Bill Nye debate last night. It was, if you want, it's about 3 hours long. But I ordered the DVD, by the way. But it was very interesting. A lot of apples and oranges being compared. But I was proud of Ken Ham within the first minute of his presentation. He presented the gospel, so you knew where he was coming from with that. So, First Chronicles, don't go there, but just when David becomes king and the tribes are coming together, it's mentioned that the sons of Issachar, who understood the times to know what Israel ought to do, were there. And that's what they were known for. And we're in a time when I believe that we need to know what's going on and be ready for what the world's throwing at us so that we can combat it. So 1 Peter chapter 3, look in verse 15 with me. We just recently went down to Naples for a Discipleship Now weekend with some of our young people. I took some college kids to help out with Joshua. He wanted some college kids to do the groups. Then I took a few of our youth so that they could experience what was going on. And they had about 300 high schoolers and middle schoolers attend this. And Sean McDowell was the speaker. That's Josh McDowell's son. And he is an excellent apologist and did a great job. What they don't know, in 2.5 days, they went to 6 church services. You know, so it's like a whole week of revival crammed in 2.5 days. But if you don't tell them what's going on, they don't realize that sometimes. So you just continue to pray for those seeds. 1 Peter chapter 3, look in verse 15 with me. Peter writes to the church, and he's writing to a church that is about to face major persecution. And he says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." One of the points that Bill Nye was making last night was that if we don't get away from this creation stuff, if we don't start doing good science, our economy is going to go down and all the other nations are going to pass the United States because we're caught in this. And it's just, you talk about a lie from the pits of hell that people have believed and they're throwing out there. So it was real good, the contrast that was going on there. But the first thing that we need to be focusing on as we think about our world visions and what we're believing is to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. Is Jesus Christ number one? Is Jesus Christ just something we add to our agenda, or is he the focus? Okay? And just several little things I was thinking about lately. You know, God doesn't need us to get up every morning and read the Bible. Did y'all know that? That startled some of y'all, didn't it? Okay, the way I said it. But we need to get up every morning and read the Word of God and meet with the Lord and meet with him in prayer. See, God doesn't need us to do anything, but he desires for us to do some certain things. And if we do those things, I, Brian Jones, needs to read the Word of God on a daily basis to remind me who I belong to and remind me of what truth is all about and keep that relationship flourishing. And that's how that one way the Spirit of God speaks to us, through the Word. So I need to do that. Listen to what Warren Wiersbe said. He says, "As Christians are faced with crisis and we are tempted to give in to our fears and make wrong decisions, but if we sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, we need never fear man nor circumstances." And what we need to do is get a real good grip on the Lordship of Christ and love him back by just embracing all of his truth and continuing to become what he wants us to be. Enemies may hurt us, but they cannot harm us. Now think about that. Enemies can hurt you, right? They can throw words at you. They can attack you physically, but they really can't harm us because we belong to the King of Kings and he's going to take care of us. No matter what happens, we're in good standing with him and we need to remain there. So live out the Lordship of Christ. And just think about that as you go through the rest of the week. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Or is God and religion just something you tag on to everything else we've got going on? We've got to be real careful that we don't get so consumed and busy in what's going on that we miss out on the things that God wants for us. And then he says to be ready always. Now, this isn't a suggestion. This is the Word of God basically commanding us that we need to be able to give an account of what we believe in and show people what is the hope that you're going through. How can people be happy when they're having surgeries? How can people, you know, go through horrible situations, but because that peace that passes all understanding helps them out and walks them through those situations? So as we are ready to do that, and people start asking the questions, how do you deal with that, or how do you have any hope in this situation, that's when we start pointing to Christ. And we tell them because it's Christ in us, that's what keeps us going, and he lives in us, right? So we move from there into witnessing. Whether you like it or not, you are a witness. It says that in Acts chapter 1, you will be witnesses. We are witnesses. And how are we witnessing for the Lord as we're going through life? I know everybody around here is happy, smiling, patting each other on the back. Glad you're here. But when we go out the doors, when we're in the community, when we're at the grocery store, so I got so angry the other day But I was in the privacy of my own home. Nobody knows that. All y'all know it now. My wife knows it. My wife didn't even know this. But I was moving something by myself. Real intelligent, right, men? Okay, you can do it, right? So I had it all figured out how I was going to do it, but it wasn't going right for me. So I just pitched a little fit, you know. And you get done pitching a little fit, and nobody's around. Nobody saw you, but the Lord knows. And the Holy Spirit is just like going, really? Where'd that come from? You know, and then you got to confess the Lord for your attitude and all that stuff. Of course, now I've confessed that to all y'all. I'm good, right? Okay. But we do that. We live that out. Listen to what he says. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope which is in you. The Lord Jesus Christ has moved in at the point of salvation. And that's where our hope is. And that's where we're going with this. And he says here, with meekness and fear, or with gentleness and respect, how are we witnessing to the world? You know, when Ken Ham and Bill and I met last night, they shook hands and they went about it. They were very cordial, you know, and you could tell just by watching them, they were nervous and they were getting a little excited with each other at times, but they were very good in holding their emotions back and trying to keep things going in the right direction. And, you know, I was almost waiting for Ken Ham to just start crying for Bill Nye, brokenhearted, that a human is believing this stuff and pushing God out of the picture like that. And that's how we need to do it. Listen to this. They are blind and they are captives. We need to look at lost people and imagine them in POW clothing. You need to imagine them in the big stripes, in bondage, because they are undone and without Christ. And if they continue through life like that, they will be separated eternally from God. And that's how we need to see lost people. No matter how boisterous they are, no matter how crazy they're acting and stuff like that, but our hearts need to be breaking over their condition. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go backwards, okay? Go back up to verse 8. Here's some helps on how we can do this. And it's always interesting to me in the middle of an epistle when somebody says, finally. You know, that's usually what you put on the end, right? But a lot of times Peter does this, Paul does this. He says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And he goes on there. But let me just go over a few of these things real quick. Basically, we need to love God, allow him to be sanctified in our hearts, and love others. What is the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, everything about you. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And if our relationship and love with God is what it's supposed to be, it's easier for us to love our neighbors because we have the attitude of Christ about who they are. They're either our brother in Christ or they're not in the family and they're doomed. So we need to have this unity of mind, and it's the mind of Christ that the potential is there at the moment of salvation. We just need to realize it. We need to allow the Spirit of God to bring that out and let us know and help us to become what God wants us to be. But tie into the sanctity of the Lord your God in your heart. Not your agenda, not their agenda or somebody else's, but God's agenda. Compassion for one another. We have compassion for each other, right? Don't we care about each other the way we pray for each other and ask each other how they're doing? But we need to take that compassion into a lost world and help them understand that. Talking, listening, helping. James says, don't just say, be warm and filled and I'm going to pray for you, but actually do something about it. I like those testimonies where someone does something and then they share the gospel, and that's the way I believe the Lord would have us to do that. Give an ear, give time. Give resources, and do pray for those. Are we praying for people? Do you know people around you that are lost, that they're POWs? They're in those clothes. They're in bondage. And are we praying for them and asking God to show us ways? All right, here's some of the rest of them that he mentioned. Love as brothers. How y'all get along with your family? Hopefully it's good. It's supposed to be good, right? Sometimes we don't. We have family issues. But we are to love each other as brothers. But we need to take that love. Be tenderhearted, caring about them. courteous, not evil for evil, and bless them. And he says that we were called to this. That's our calling. And just think, if we get a good grip on that, and then we're making sure that the Lord is sanctified in our hearts, we're ready to give a defense of what we believe, folks, we need it. When a team's down, and I'm not saying our team is not down because we win, we're not going to be down, but we inherit a blessing from Christ, but we need to pick up the slack. If our nation is going in the wrong direction, and it is, y'all have seen that over the years, and that's what the Bible says is going to happen. We've seen it happen. Where Caleb's at over in Wales 100 years ago, great awakenings were happening, and what's going on now? You know, you're trying to take that back. When things get bleak, if the majority out there are walking and living in the darkness, then we've got to be the light. We've got to pick up the slack, and we've got to look for opportunities. We've got maybe pray a little bit more, start seeking ways that we can reach people. I got my technology expert has gone down to Naples, so I'm lost now. But it was funny, when we went to China, Joshua wanted me to make sure I had a new iPhone before I went, and I'm going, great, I don't even know how to use this stupid thing. Because, you know, I had a little phone, and you flipped it open, and you called somebody, and that was it. It didn't have a camera, a screen, or maps, or anything else on it. It was a phone, okay? So he gives me this thing that's got all this stuff on it, and he's putting music on it, and that's all great. What was neat, though, when we were flying over the Soviet Union, I was listening to a Third Day song, and just how great God is, and I'm thinking, here we are flying over a communist country and into a communist country, and I'm listening to how great God is. So that was amazing for me, one of my moments. Anyway, so that was over a year ago, and then Luke throws his in the river, bloop, and Joshua decides to upgrade everybody again. You know, I don't know what this is costing me, by the way. But anyway, so I'm carrying this phone around for months, and all of a sudden I realize, hey, it's got a flashlight on it. I don't know how many times I've fumbled around in the darkness, and I've got this thing in my pocket that's got a flashlight on it, and all you do is flip it up and push a button, and, you know, it would have saved me several bumps on my head, a few stumped toes, or finding stuff. And, you know, God has given us every tool that we need, but sometimes we don't use them. We don't utilize what the Spirit of God wants to do through His people. And, you know, I just believe the power of God is waiting for His people to get right and beg Him. When desperate people start crying out to God, think about the children of Israel before they left Egypt. They were crying out to the Lord, and the Lord heard their prayers, and He did something about it. Several times as you go through the Word of God, God hears the prayers of His people. And how desperate are we praying to be empowered by the Spirit of God and do those things that are pleasing to Him, and just be amazed at what He does, okay? Here's what I want to leave us with. Deliberately decide to love life. Anybody in here grouchy? You don't have to raise your hand, okay? Turn into a grump every once in a while? I do. I'll just be honest with you, I do. Maybe y'all don't see it. I try and keep a smile and try. Kathy said something to you, you're not whistling as much as you were. And it's like, okay, how come? But deliberately decide to love life, no matter what. Because God's on the throne, we are His children, we need to love life. We know where we're going, we know what we've got to look forward to. Control your tongue, right? What's coming out of us? What are we saying to each other? What are we saying to the world? What are they hearing coming out of us? Do good and hate evil. Do we really hate evil? Or are we just sort of putting up with it, going in that direction? We need to do good, hate evil. And then seek and pursue peace. Amen? Because we serve the King of Peace, right? And one day He will set His foot down on the Mount of Olives. And until then, we're not going to have peace, right? That's when it's going to happen. So in the meantime, we get to put up with all kinds of junk and garbage. But you were empowered by an almighty and a holy God to represent Him. And we've got great things to look forward to. Amen? So I'll just go out there and charge hell tomorrow, right? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for loving us. Lord Jesus, I do pray that in our hearts we would sanctify You and allow You to be number one. Lord, You desire preeminence, and You are the great almighty, holy God that we bow down to. And Lord, this old world is going crazy. All kinds of just lies are being spread about where we came from and what's important and different things like that. But God, I thank you for people that love you and are in positions in our culture to make a difference. Lord, I pray for our young people. Even now, as Greg's with them, sharing the truth with them, God, I pray that they would just absorb that, our children in the back. Lord, help us to be the light to this world. Lord, as things continue to get darker, God, let us shine ever brighter because we're putting on the armor of God. We're shining our breastplates and allowing you to reflect off of our lives. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you. God, I pray that you would just continue to empower us to do your will as we go through the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.